you're in the 06010.
Welcome to Fantasy Focus. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. And you can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcast.
Except tomorrow and Friday.
That's right. Yes. Okay. Not every weekday, technically. Good call by you. That's part of the reason why Matthew, Daniel, and I are all dressed up in our Christmas garb. Yeah. Today is our Christmas edition of the Fantasy Focus. We've got some pretty awesome robes on right now. It's Daniel over there in the Griswold Christmas, family Christmas sweatshirt. A pretty awesome robes Matthew and I are wearing right now. Thanks to our friends over at Chubby's for making this happen.
If yeah.
you don't know them, you probably see them on social media. They've got great social media game, and they've got great robe game as well.
So it's comfy.
It's toasty and warm. Someone's going to see us like spotted in like early March wearing this around. Like, what are those guys doing in Santa Claus robes?
This is like after the holiday season, this is absolutely going up in my bathroom.
Of course.
Duh.
Multi-use. This yeah, duh. Great. There was a delay of the NFL games, three of them in total. So a little bit of a delay of game on our show today. Thanks for the 5 minutes of extra time that you guys all waited for, those that watch the live stream every single day. We got lots to get to. We're going to do a hybrid show. It's not quite a Wednesday, not quite a Friday, not quite a Tuesday show. We're a little bit of everything, Daniel.
Yeah, I mean, because we want to be able to give everybody some time off for the holidays. Not doing a show Thursday, not doing a show Friday. Mike, Al, and I are going to do a DFS show after this. That'll be audio only, but this is essentially our last show for the week. So we're going to give you as much info as we can right now, but field. There are so many places that people should follow everyone on social media and yes. Fantasy Football Now over the weekend for the latest up-to-date information.
Yeah, I really think that, and I know I'm not trying to be like, hey, come look at us, but I do believe this could be one of the more important Fantasy Football Now editions in a long time, and not just because of the fact that we're not available Thursday and Friday on the podcast, but also there's so many moving parts this week, right? I mean,
1,000%.
There are tons. We'll get to many of them today. As an example, the Chiefs, who have the number two scoring wide receiver and tight end in fantasy this year, Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. We don't know if either of them will play, and it's possible we won't know until late Saturday night or early Sunday morning. So please, please tune into Fantasy Football Now, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN2.
And don't worry. Like, it's not just me. It's not just Field. It's not just Stefania. And it's not just Damian Woody or Adam Schefter or Mike Clay.
I hate you.
We have every single, all hands on deck for this episode of Fantasy Football Now.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have Diana Rossini. We'll have Jeff Darlington. Mm-hmm. We'll have Ed Warder. We'll have Dan Graziano.
Yep.
Who else am I forgetting here? We'll have, like, probably Lindsay Theory will be
Sal
there.
Sal Powell.
Yep. Powell. Yeah, of course, the godfather of Fantasy Football Now.
Yeah.
Michelle Steele. Yeah, yeah, Real Steele will be there. So, like, anyone, basically, every important voice you want to hear from, that you need to hear from.
Ken Dobby's coming
ESPN,
back.
Ken Dobby's coming back. Exactly. Like, just everyone you could possibly want to hear from will be there Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, ESPN2 for Fantasy Football Now. 3 hours getting you ready up to kickoff here in a very important Week 16. We've got you covered.
Hurts. It hurts to have Ken Dobby used against me. I'm not going to lie.
I was going to say. Has anybody heard from Ken Dobby since yesterday?
Come on, Ken.
You think I listen?
By the way, Ken Dobby's profile photo on Twitter is an awesome photo of him and Matthew. Definitely, you just got to go check it out. It's a really cool Twitter photo.
What is it? It's like at Ken Dobby. What is it? It's actually, at Ken Dobby ESPN. I don't know if it is anymore, obviously, because
I don't either, but I'm looking at his Twitter profile and you've just got a lot more hair in this photo.
Wow.
I don't know how else to say it. I'm sorry.
I was going
to
say, how old is that picture then?
It must be pretty old.
All right.
Well, I've been follicly challenged for quite some time.
Yeah, you've been consistent.
I like that. I'm wearing the hat today.
Right.
Yeah.
Specifically, you know, because any chance I get to, you know, cover
put a
my
hat
head.
On, you're doing it.
Yeah, I'm doing it.
Love it.
I'm doing that. I might do that all next year. I may just like Rob Lowe it. You know, Danny
totally.
Canellet, right?
Yeah.
Just like the guys that wear hats all the time.
Yeah, but
Jeff
we haven't
does that
confirmed.
A lot. Jeff Probst is always on air with a hat.
Jeff Probst. I watched every
He's
season.
He's so good at his job.
I watched every season of Survivor during the pandemic.
Really?
Chape and I mean, I'm obsessed. Like, I want to be on Survivor one day. And I've actually, I'm glad this came up organically. Okay. I never wanted to just be like, hey guys, like, I want to use my platform to get on Survivor, but I want to be on Survivor one day.
Really?
I do. Yeah. So
I might be able to help with that.
If there's a way to like nominate people for Survivor, feel free to do so. I would love to do it. I'd probably lose in like the first night, but I would love to do it.
I mean,
the tribe has spoken. Like, yeah. I want Jeff Probst to put out my Eternal Flame.
I will tell you, I don't know if I'm speaking out of school. Two things I'll say very quickly. Number one is, I don't think people understand how good Jeff Probst is at what he does.
He's the
He's phenomenal at that job. Yep. He is phenomenal, and it's a really hard job of what he does, and he makes it look really easy, and people probably think, well, it's a host. How hard could it be? Yeah. He's phenomenal at the job. So that's one thing about Jeff Probst. The other thing I will say is that you should talk to our friend Tim Hasselbeck. You know, because his wife Elizabeth, of course, is a Survivor legend.
Yeah,
you know,
from the second season. Boston Rob, some of the best. Parvati.
Yeah.
Probably three of the top names that come
to
mind for me.
Yeah. Boston Rob, correct?
Have we had Boston Rob on?
I think he's... Are you saying he started his own podcast about Survivor?
No, I thought...
He's saying our podcast.
Oh, okay. Our podcast. Wow. I thought we had Boston Rob, did we not?
I don't think we did, but maybe an episode I wasn't here for.
He's so good.
I don't know.
He's so good.
I haven't watched every episode, every season of Survivor the way you have, but I've watched many seasons of it. It's a great show.
It's great to have a live season back. And, well, it just finished. But
anyway, you should talk to Tim and Elizabeth about her experience on the show. I think that would be eye-opening, too, because it is tough.
I have no doubt. I'll come back a mangled wreck, but it'd be fun.
It is.
I will have done it.
You, by the way, and they should cast you. You'd be perfect casting for that show.
Also,
I know some people over there at the CBS. Like, I'll make a call.
People like the first night. I'd be like, listen, if you guys don't vote for me, I'll give you my top five fantasy sleepers for next year. Like, that's got to be one of the best ways to win people over. Right?
I got two things, and we really got to move on because people want to hear us talk about football. But Ken Dalby's Twitter handle is @KenTalksNFL.
Okay.
Ken Talks NFL. So if you want to follow Ken Dalby in there,
give him a shout out.
His profile photo is him, you, Matthew, Stefania, and Mike Clay all sitting around the old fantasy focus desk back in radio.
Wow.
Okay. So it's an old school photo. And second, if we nominate Field for Survivor, can I nominate Matthew for Naked and Afraid?
No.
Is that okay?
No, because by the way,
we're not in that robe right now.
No.
That's the one thing that he brings with him. Rather than like a hatchet or like flint, it's just his robe.
Yeah, Naked and Afraid is the story of my marriage. Let's be clear about that. Let's be honest.
Well, let's talk about some football.
Every day I know there's a point where it's time to turn to football, and now I know we've reached that
my
point.
My poor wife, you have no idea.
I do know.
You can imagine. I have one last question on Survivor here. Yeah. This would be a good poll.
Sure,
Thirsty,
sure.
I'll put this out there. If you got on Survivor, do you think Field's strategy would be to be like super nice? Would Field be the... I mean, because Field is... Daniel, you and I talk about this.
Oh, yeah.
Field is... what you see on air is Field in real life. Field is a genuinely good-hearted person, incredibly kind, incredibly a good teammate, like very helpful. Like, that's who Field is. Like, it's not an act on air. So my question is, at Survivor, would he be that guy that everyone at the island likes, and then, but would he then like turn and like do a heel turn there and like just stab people in the back, or would he just count on his niceness and his charm to get him through, Daniel? Where do you land on this?
I'll tell you what, I think Field would use his niceness to a point, but he knows it's a game. At the end of the day, you're trying to, you play to win the game. You know what I'm saying?
I think you say that in theory, but I just know him. He'll start... You're stuck on that island with nothing to do. It's not like you can watch TV or use your phone or anything like that. So it's like you get to know everyone. Like, you become these lifelong friends. And so it's one thing to be like, yeah, I'm going to stab him in the back. But it's another thing to, like, after you've spent 3 weeks talking to them about their kids and their sick uncle and their dreams and their aspirations and this horrible childhood trauma, then to stab them in the back, you know, then that's where it becomes really, really hard to have that killer instinct. And I'm not sure Field would be able to pull the trigger at that point.
Wow.
Because he's too nice. It would be fascinating to watch.
You're right. Like, it would be great to be able to see.
And I just like the idea of Field having 3 months without a phone. I gotta tweet something. he'd have the shakes.
39 days, but close to 3 months. What I was gonna say though is that I'm not gonna say anything about my strategy because I've been thinking about it a lot.
Right. Oh, right.
And I won't reveal my cards just in case I ever get on. I don't want someone who's like a big fantasy football fan to be
That's
like,
fair.
Field talked about how he's gonna be nice at the beginning or mean at the beginning and then heel turn or get nice all of a sudden. Secrets will stay secrets for now. Let's get to football. There's a lot to get to. We start with Tuesday night football. And weird night last night in a lot of ways because there was a Tuesday night with two football games on, but also because the games were were played at the same time. But the same network. So many people had access to just one game unless you had access to something like NFL Game Pass or things of that nature. The Seahawks lose 20-10 to the Rams. Rams are now tied with the Cardinals for first place in the NFC West. The Seahawks passing game, good Lord, Matthew. Good freaking Lord. Now, I know there was Tyler Lockett last night, but still, like, it is so apparent to me. It is so apparent to me. And I'm not trying to make Seahawks fans mad right now, but it is so obvious to me that a divorce feels inevitable in Seattle this offseason between Russell Wilson and the Seahawks, because it's reached its height, right? They are now on the backside here. He threw for 156 yards last night. He had 4.2 fantasy points. I don't even recognize this man anymore.
It's brutal. I mean, look, I think if Tyler Lockett, they play the Bears next week, and they're home to the Bears. And so, like,
I wonder how many people have survived made it this far
with Russell Wilson.
Yeah,
no,
like, not even this week, like, have gotten this far. Like, hey, you had a 3-week break without him because he was on IR. Like, do you think people are legitimately have made it this far with Russ as their quarterback? It's got to be a very small percentage of people.
Small percentage of people. It has to be people that, like,
Cooper Kupp and Jonathan Taylor types.
Right, exactly. If you've got those two players on your team, if you're in a deeper league, you know, that kind of thing. I wouldn't feel confident about starting any running back next week against the Bears. I mean, you're basically in a game in which no Tyler Lockett, you would expect DK Metcalf, and he was fine, but it wasn't like, that ain't what you drafted DK Metcalf to be, and it hasn't been that way for 6 to 7 weeks now.
Matthew, he's going to go from Halloween to Christmas without a touchdown.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
That's unfathomable for DK Metcalf, without any games missed. Zero games missed and zero touchdowns from Halloween to Christmas. That is just ridiculous.
It's shocking, and it's a massive misuse of assets. DK Metcalf is a upper tier wide receiver in the NFL. On a pure talent standpoint, he is one of the better wide receivers in the NFL. And so the fact that they haven't been able to get him the ball, and by the way, again, just as a red zone threat, the fact that they've been able to get him the ball in scoring opportunity, like he is. Like, there ain't a corner in the – there isn't one corner in the NFL that physically, man for man, can match up with DK Metcalf. Like, you've got to bracket him. You've got to – like, and the fact that they haven't been able creative enough to get him free, to get him into one-on-one matchups and be able to get him in the ball, like, field, it's like – it's shocking is what it is.
It's really surprising, and it contrasts. And so with the Seahawks, let's leave it here. There's one must-start if he plays, and that's Tyler Lockett.
Correct.
If DK Metcalf – is going to be started. He's going to be ranked inside our top 20 for receivers, especially against a Bear secondary that did play well this past Monday night, but still is undermanned. That has not been great all year. But there's only one player that you absolutely must start from the Seahawks right now, and that's Tyler Lockett. Everybody else is a conversation. For the Rams, it's a different story, though.
Correct. Just for people watching the video, DK Metcalf played against the Rams, by the way. The graphic says against the Washington football team.
Yep.
But it was he got 6 catches on 12 targets for 52 yards against the Rams on Tuesday night. They play the Bears next week. And listen, if you are moving on to next week or you're in the second week of a 2-week playoff, you're doing it despite any of your Seahawks. So proceed with caution. I agree with Field. You're starting Tyler Lockett if you have him. Other than that, it's a depends who else you have.
And for the Rams, there are definitely a couple of players you are starting. Obviously, none of them more important than Cooper Kupp. And let's just be quick with Cooper. He's amazing. He's literally the best. I looked this up recently. The most fantasy points per game for a wide receiver over the course of a full season, not playing 6 games or 2 games or 12 games, playing 16 games or more. Obviously, this is the first year ever with 17 games. The most PPR points per game up to this point, 25.8 by Jerry Rice. Cooper Kupp's ahead of that pace. He's literally having one of the greatest seasons, regardless of position, we have ever seen in fantasy football history. And to the point about, like, DK Metcalf, like, get him the ball. Like, everybody knows what's happening with the Rams, and yet Cooper Kupp still has 6 separate games with at least 30 fantasy points this year. He is the MVP. It's just, again, he's the fantasy MVP. I know Jonathan Taylor has a very compelling case as well. Consistency, it's not close. Jonathan Taylor, number 2. Cooper Kupp, number 1.
Especially because he's doing it as a wide receiver. And by the way, just in terms of draft capital, right? Jonathan Taylor went at the end of the first round, maybe at the top of the second, depending on when you drafted. If you drafted like the day after Quentin Nelson was, you know, rumored to be out for 6 weeks, and maybe he goes to the top of the second. But Cooper Kupp was a fourth rounder, like was a mid-tier wide receiver too in terms of where he was drafted. So just based on draft capital, to me, Cooper Kupp, my little Cooper Kupp, is the fantasy MVP. You guys know I love Cooper Kupp. I've been talking about him since his rookie year. Even I, perhaps the world's second biggest Cooper Kupp fan after his father, Craig, didn't think he had, you know, this kind of season in him. Yep. Like, I would be lying if I said I thought he would be on pace to be ahead of Jerry Rice. God bless you, Cooper Kupp. There were a lot of fantasy teams that were like, oh boy, I need a miracle. That miracle's name, Cooper Kupp.
So for the Rams, the backfield's a little bit more confusing, though. So Sony Michel played 44 snaps last night, just 18 for Darrell Henderson. I think if you know it's just going to be one of these two Rams, then you're in good shape, right? We think this is going to be a, you know, an RB1 potentially if it's Henderson, and an RB2 if it's Sony Michel. The problem is, right now, I think that the chances that this becomes more and more of a work share grow by the week, because Henderson last night did play some, but he's still banged up. He's on the COVID list for a while. Michel played fine. He had 13.5 fantasy points, Matthew. But this, to me, would be more likely. But I think by week 17 or 18, this is probably 55-45 in one of their favor.
I would agree with it. The reporting prior to the game was that Michel would handle more of the workload as they're working Henderson back in. But Sony Michel has done nothing to, quote, lose the job when he's gotten it. And to your point, Henderson is banged up. They don't have a lot of depth between those two guys. The Rams obviously have Super Bowl aspirations. They need these guys healthy, not just for the rest of the regular season, but for hopefully a long playoff run from their point of view. So I agree with you, Field. I think they like what they got out of Michel. They wanted to bring Henderson back. I think you'll see Henderson's workload increase more in the next game. But Sony Michel isn't going anywhere, and so this feels like a running back by committee going forward, which makes both of them high-end flex plays, high-upside flex plays, but hard to count on either guy as anything more than that.
Let's move forward here. And if you needed a fantasy miracle, Cooper Kupp was certainly the number one option on Tuesday night. But I got one from Jalen Hurts. Really needed him in a big spot, and he came through. And it was frustrating first quarter last night for somebody who needed Jalen Hurts, who had a pick that was not his fault at all. I hit off of Dallas Goedert's hands, then his heel.
Off his ankle.
Ankle, yep. And then it went right into the arms of Landon Collins, who was great last night for the Washington football team. And then Jalen Hurts got strip sacked. That one was, you know, probably his fault, right? Held on the ball a little bit too long. Yep. But he finishes with 27.6 fantasy points, Matthew, two rushing touchdowns. I continue to say your best call of the year was the possibility of Jalen Hurts finishing his QB1. He might not get there in part because of the fact that he missed one game, but he's been remarkable all season. 9 separate games with at least 20 fantasy points. Thank you, Jalen Hurts.
He's been nothing short of amazing. And by the way, credit to the Eagles' offensive line, which, and listen, Washington's defensive line, they were a little bit banged up. They were coming off of COVID as well, a lot of them. But the Eagles dominated. I mean, they won that game because both sides of the line in Philadelphia absolutely dominated Washington. And as we care about in fantasy, like, they just ran the ball so effectively, and that's not a fluke. They have done that really, really well for much of this season.
Seven straight games with 175 rushing yards or
more. I mean,
more.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. Seven straight with 175 or more. And so, and Jalen Hurts is a big part of that. Again, their best goal line back is Jalen Hurts. He gets two gimme touchdowns yesterday from the one yard line. Yeah, exactly. Both convert really, really well. All that's a long way of saying, like, I don't think this changes anytime soon. And it's going to be hard to keep Jalen Hurts outside my top three at quarterback when they play the Giants this week.
Yeah, and Miles Sanders last night was really good, 146 yards. He had two catches as well. He just didn't get the end zone opportunities, of course, because those went to Jalen Hurts. He's a solid RB2 right now with the way that they are running the football. The big difference between him and having RB1 upside is that he just is not getting those critical goal-to-goal carries. Dallas Goedert had a great game if you didn't watch the game, right? Like, he had seven catches for 135 yards. That's awesome. But he had two really bad drops. The first one I mentioned a few minutes ago, and then a screen pass that could have gone, it might have gone to the house. It was from the 40-yard line. It was perfectly set up. Washington blitz, which if you are running a screen, there's nothing better than a blitz if you can time it up as an offensive play caller. Could have been a big gain. Nonetheless, you're still fine with 20.5 fantasy points from Dallas Goedert.
Yeah, you love it. And I think what you're encouraged about is the fact that they kept going to him. They kept going to Dallas Goedert.
Yep.
And, well, you know, listen, it was bad weather as well. It was, you know, raining, so maybe the ball's a little bit slippery as well. I think there's a couple plays that Dallas Goedert, to your point, would want back. But he's clearly the number one option in that passing attack for the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, clear tight end one next week.
For the Washington football team, Antonio Gibson was really good. He found the end zone yesterday, had a handful of catches as well. Reminder that J.D. McKissick plays on IR, so we're not going to see him until week 18 at the earliest. If they're out of the playoff, maybe they won't see him at all. But besides that, Matthew, you got to throw this game out. You can't. Yeah. You just have to. Garrett Gilbert had been there for 5 days before he became the starter. So Terry McLaurin has two catches on 51 yards. Honestly, like, first of all, one great catch, right? Like, I wasn't expecting much more out of Terry. I'm sorry.
No. Again, right. So to your point, like, by the way, Eagles secondary's played really well this year.
Darius Slay's awesome.
Yeah, Darius Slay's awesome. Garrett Gilbert, right, to your point, been there for 5 days. And by the way, it's not like he was sitting on his couch. He had been on the Cowboys practice squad. So he spent Patriots, all season long. I'm sorry?
Patriots.
Oh, Patriots. Sorry, Patriots. Yeah. So he'd spent all he spent time with Dallas, though. I'm like,
that's where he was previously.
He's been a lot of places. He's had a much traveled career, Gary Gilbert has. But my point is like, so he spent all year learning the Patriots playbook, and now they come into five. He's got 5 days to learn all the terminology for Washington. And honestly, I thought he played, given the givens, I actually thought he played pretty well. I thought Garrett, like the reason Washington lost that game was because of the offensive and defensive line, not because of Garrett Gilbert.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Like, did he hold onto the ball a little bit too long a few times? Sure, but whatever. That game was lost by, that game was won or lost based on the play of the offensive and defensive lines on both sides of the ball, and Philadelphia just dominated the line on each side.
Let's move forward here with a couple of updates. A.J. Brown for the Titans has been designated to return.
Is Jared Patterson worth a roster spot for those people that have Antonio Gibson? He left this game early with an injury, was in the blue tent, came back after a little while.
Yeah.
I think he missed a series.
Yeah, I think he is. However, one thing I will say, yeah, it was late in the game, he got a touchdown. Yeah. One thing I will say, though, is that this is an unusually active waiver wire week.
Yeah.
Where, like, you know, if you had the option to choose Jared Patterson or Ronald Jones or Justin Jackson or any of those guys, like, I might prefer that.
Definitely.
In a normal week, I think the answer is obviously yes. I think this week you might have four or five options that are actually available right now that you might target before Patterson. Let's move forward then to some of the updates. A.J. Brown for the Titans is expected to be back on Thursday night. At least there's a chance to play on Thursday night against San Francisco, Matthew. So I got to be honest with you. I have him at 17 in my rankings right now. You have him at 21. I am completely fearful of that ranking. I really am, because he's an amazing player. There's no two ways about that. But this Titans passing offense has been a mess all season. I understand that part of the reason why it's been a mess is because A.J. Brown has not been there, and because they've been without Derrick Henry, and because Julio Jones has been largely a non-factor for them this season, and they haven't gotten much from their tight ends. The list goes on and on and on. San Francisco's defense is playing better. It's not a dominant secondary, but it's certainly good enough. This is one of those where what I have to decide is, if you remove A.J. Brown from your lineup and he goes off, and not even goes off for like 25 fantasy points, but if he gets you 6 catches for 109 yards, are you going to be able to live with yourself having had him on your bench as opposed to filling in for somebody else who's a lesser known player? And I'm just making this up here. Let's say Russell Gage, and Gage gets you 5 for 42 and A.J. Brown sitting on your bench with 6 for 109. Does that make sense?
It does. It's just it's a little bit of, you know, fantasy FOMO, which is something I literally just made up. But yeah, there is a little bit of that, right? Like, you're just like, if you start A.J. Brown and he doesn't do anything, it's a little bit of like, he's A.J. Brown. What are you going to do, right? I mean, this past weekend, right? Like, Ramondre Stevenson, you know, was awful, right? I mean, I got bounced out of the playoffs because Ramondre Stevenson, Joe Mixon, and Jamar Chase combined for less than 14 points. Like, Russell Gage, I was playing Teddy Bruschi in the War Room League. I lost. He also has Cooper Kupp and Jonathan Taylor. So just rolling us. Second year in a row, I've lost to the highest scoring playoff team in the playoffs. So anyway, that particular week. But what I was going to say is that that was the right call to start Stevenson, Chase, and Mixon. You know what I mean? Like, this is the life we've chosen, right? This is the business we've chosen. If you start A.J. Brown and he doesn't do anything, it's a little bit of like, well, he's A.J. Brown, what are you going to do? But if you bench A.J. Brown and he goes off, and instead you picked up some, you mentioned Russell Gage. Russell Gage has been really good for a while here, but you pick up some random, I'm trying to think of like a, whatever, that same game, Juwan Jennings, who scored a touchdown last week, right? And that guy doesn't do anything. Then maybe, do you feel dumb? So it's a little bit of how well can you live with yourself? Are you going to have, again, fantasy, FOMO, fear of missing out? Ultimately, for me, I ranked him where I ranked him, Field, because he is A.J. Brown.
Mm.
My expectation here is that they're gonna struggle to run the ball. That they did move the ball against Pittsburgh. They shot themselves in the foot. The Titans did. They shot themselves in the foot. You know, with like, I think the 4 turnovers, but they actually did move the ball. And so A.J. Brown, who I think is at this stage of their respective careers significantly better than Julio Jones, You know what I mean? Like, I think he commands a big target share. He was close to making it back last week. One of the reasons why he didn't play last week is because they had the Thursday night game.
Yeah, I think he actually wasn't eligible last week to play. But he was getting, like, I think if he was, he would have.
Yeah, that was right. Close.
I think he's getting there. I think there's, like, legit chance he plays and plays a lot.
So, yes, exactly. So I don't think it's one of those cases like the first game Amari Cooper came back, that Saints game, we were like, you know what? He's just coming off the COVID list. He's missed two games. We don't know how much he's going to be used, and he actually wasn't used that much.
Right.
My expectation here, at least at the moment, is that A.J. Brown plays a very healthy amount of snaps, and he's super talented. San Francisco is banged up somewhat in the secondary. Remember, as good as they are, Russell Gage went off on them last week as well, and so I don't know. Yeah, I understand the nervousness here, but I do think he's a borderline top 20 play this week.
So moving forward to some updates, and I just want to, this is like a one-size-fits-all update in some ways, because a lot of players have been in recent days placed on the reserve COVID-19 list. The NFL has new protocols that Stefania has laid out before. They are effective this week. Part of it is that the NFL is only testing vaccinated players who are experiencing symptoms or targeted groups or some random tests as well. Bottom line is this. You now need one negative test if you're asymptomatic and vaccinated to return to the field. That should increase the number of players that are able to return within the same week that they land on the COVID-19 list. But until we get to the point at which they are activated, we do not know whether they have a chance to be activated. So, the list of players we talked to you about yesterday included Travis Kelce. That was the most notable one. He's joined by his own teammate, Tyreek Hill, as the Chiefs played 7 active roster players and 2 practice squad players on the reserve COVID-19 list yesterday. The names that people know most, Tyreek Hill, on defense, Nick Bolton and Amari Watts amongst the players that landed there as well, Blake Bell, a tight end. So all of a sudden, this offense for the Chiefs, Matthew, faces the possibility of being without Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. Now, they face the Steelers, which is actually a good matchup all of a sudden this year. And I just succinctly, are we really considering the possibility that if you did not have Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill of not playing Patrick Mahomes on Sunday?
I suppose it depends on your options, right?
Yeah.
Generally speaking, I'm going to play Patrick Mahomes. Now, the league that I have Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs next week, which is my longtime dynasty league, my other options are the Washington quarterbacks, Taylor Heineke or Kyle Allen, or Ryan Tannehill. So I'm starting Patrick Mahomes, like, and it's actually a super flex league, so I'm going to have to pick one of those guys. I'll probably pick Tannehill. But at any rate, but it depends on your options. Like, did you pick, you know, like, if you have Jalen Hurts, if you've had Mahomes and Hurts, if you've had, like, Mahomes and Cousins, I will say that Mahomes would be lower than it normally would in a normal week, right? I mean, like, obviously, it looked like he was fully back now after the Chargers, but
I'll give you one.
Go, yeah?
Taysom Hill.
Yeah. I mean, that's a conversation, right? Hill was bad last week against the Buccaneers, but Hill has a – who are the Saints playing this week?
Miami on Monday night.
Yeah, that's right. So, right. I mean, you can run on Miami. Mm-hmm. You can run on Miami. Like, the strength of their defense is in that secondary. So, yeah, I mean, that's a conversation.
Cam Newton? And I'm just throwing out names that not super popularly rostered.
Right. And I think I'm still starting Mahomes. And I get it. Cam Newton was a top 5 fantasy quarterback this week, despite the fact, I mean, but he looked brutal.
Yeah, he did. I know.
I mean, like, but whatever.
Doesn't matter how.
That's how the Russian gets you. But yes, it's a conversation.
Right.
I'm still willing to bet on Patrick Mahomes, and hopefully, by the way, at least one of them comes back. Hopefully both of them obviously come back. We're rooting for health here. And to your point, it is easier to get back than it has been. So it's a story that we'll watch. But yes, I don't think that if Kelce and Hill are both out for this game, I don't think Patrick Mahomes is an automatic start. I don't think he's an automatic bench, but I think now it's a conversation.
Sure. So let's talk a little bit of strategy. Other players placed on the list yesterday, by the way, include Marquez Valdes-Scantling for the Packers. Kendrick Bourne was placed on the list for the Patriots a couple days ago. Alexander Mattison remains on the list for the Minnesota Vikings. One point of clarity here, and I don't even know if we should bring it up because it could change by the time that you guys listen to this podcast. But as of right now, and my watch is 11:34 a.m. on the East Coast, Austin Eckler still not on the COVID-19 list for the Chargers. That could change, but still not on the COVID-19 list as of right now. So we hope that remains the case, not just because of fantasy, but more importantly because of Austin and his health. But we shall see. So just an update as of right this moment. But just in terms of the strategy involved with all this stuff, Matthew, a refresher, because you talked about some insightful stuff last week that included, like, if you have a tiebreaker, Thursday night player versus a Monday night player, take the certain things. So just sort of a couple of what will be some of the most important strategy bullet points to adhere to in week 16.
Yeah, I think that's the first one, right, is take the sure thing. Again, we're not saying start Ryan Tannehill because he plays on Thursday night instead of Patrick Mahomes. But my point is that if you have a if there's a conversation that you're sitting there going like, oh, this guy or that guy, play the earlier guy. Again, once again this week, we've got two games. We've got a Thursday night game. We've got two games on Saturday. Mm-hmm. We've got the Sunday games. And you never know the way this season has gone, whether games will be postponed, you know, yet again. We've got a number. We saw it with the three teams that, you know, whether it was the Washington football team and the Rams all had widespread cases and their games got pushed back. We're starting to see it with the Chiefs. Could the Chiefs game get pushed back? We don't know.
My sense is no.
My sense is no as well. But again, it's a very fluid and moving situation. So obviously, I think in general, when you have the opportunity, if you're trying to decide between two players, play the guy you know is playing. Play in the earlier game. Because again, as you see, like, you're like, everything's fine. Like, oh, Tyreek Hill now on the COVID list. Like, these things happen, and they sort of happen immediately. The other thing is give yourself as much roster and position flexibility as possible. So if you're going into the Thursday night game, and let's say you have Jimmy Garoppolo, but you're going to play another quarterback, whatever, don't keep Jimmy Garoppolo on your roster. I mean, you're in win or go home mode, right? You're either in the second week of your first round playoff, or you're in a 1 week only playoff. And if you can afford to, make sure you create as many roster spots as possible. So waive all the guys on Thursday night that are not going to play for you. Same for Saturday as you get into the two Saturday games. Do that as well. And so just give yourself as much positional flexibility. And then speaking of flex, keep your flex open for as long as possible. You know, like normally a lot of people think just instinctually they've got three running backs and they'll put their two best ones in the running back position. But if your flex spot is going to be Deontay Foreman, he should be your starting running back. Right. You know what I mean? Even though you might have, quote, two better running backs, start him at running back. Those guys don't know where they're starting in your lineup, but you want to keep your flex spot open as long as possible.
Last thing I'll say, and I think you touched on this a little bit, but I just wanted to add a little bit more context there, is I have a league in which I have Dalvin Cook, and so I have, accordingly, Alexander Mattison on my roster right now. In that league, there are a couple of players that are interesting backup running back options who might have a clearer path to play sooner than Alexander Mattison, like our play period. Like, as an example, Samaje Perine's on the roster, on the waiver wire. Normally, my advice to you would be like, hey, if you have Dalvin Cook, it is essential that you have Alexander Mattison. We're at week 16 now. There is a chance that you could actually decide that backup running back is expendable because, you know, the only way he's playing, well, I understand something. Anything could happen at any time here, right? But like right now, the player more likely to have an impact on week 16 of the NFL season is Samaje Perine than Alexander Mattison. There's some risk involved, no doubt about that. But if something happens, and I mean, if Joe Mixon's unavailable this week, as an example, you would have Samaje Perine as a top, 15 option this week?
Easy.
Yeah. So just something to think about as you're constructing your roster over these next few weeks. The players that were once deemed, you know, must keeps because of your star running back, the insurance policies, like, might be more expendable this week. One last COVID note, by the way. Cole Beasley, the Bills wide receiver, has been tested positive. He's going on the COVID-19 list. Beasley is very outspoken about his unvaccinated status. He is out on Sunday against the Patriots. Unvaccinated players must quarantine for 10 days, so Beasley would be eligible to play in week 17. But the Bills are now down Cole Beasley, and we'll see on Emmanuel Sanders.
I think he's expected to return to practice today, but not necessarily guaranteed to play. Again, they play the Patriots this week. So honestly, the only pass catchers I'm starting, you're starting Stephon Diggs. And I do think Gabriel Davis, who, I get it, the Patriots are a really good defense, but Gabriel Davis, who had a touchdown and almost had two against the Patriots when they played just 2 weeks ago, I think is somebody that'll get enough targets that it's worthwhile still starting him despite the tough matchup.
Gabe Davis available in 88% of leagues because waivers run later tonight. So just a reminder, you can still go out there and grab him.
That's correct. And we'll see how much activity there is on waivers tonight. Hopefully lots, even though a lot of people are obviously out or just the consolation bracket. Like, still, the people that are playing in the playoffs, hopefully we see you add a bunch of those players. Daniel, I'm turning it over to you.
Yes, you are, Field. And it is time to go for two, brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer with a pair of Buccaneers that we're going to talk about here.
And we begin with Tom Brady.
I've heard of him.
Tom Brady, the quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We got him in our
ranks. I didn't even need
to look him up. Yeah.
Why is it, is it because you remember how many points he scored last week? I think it was zero, Matthew.
Wow.
Tom Brady scored zero.
Was it that many?
No.
It was 4.8.
Well, I'm not talking about fantasy. I'm talking about in real life.
Real life football. 4.8 fantasy points last night. It was his first time under 11.
I know. I did not mean to shortchange him.
Robust 4.8. I had
less than 300-pound defensive tackle Christian Wilkins.
Yes. My God. That is just ridiculous. So, Tom Brady, let's look ahead, though, to this week, Matthew. Yeah. I have Tom Brady tentatively ranked at 7th at quarterback this week. You have him 7th as well. Consensus is 8th. They play the Panthers, who are a good defense, by the way. They're 5th in terms of fantasy points allowed per game this year, just 15.5. Problem is, no Chris Godwin.
Yeah.
We don't know on Mike Evans.
Correct.
No Leonard Fournette.
Yep.
If we find out that Mike Evans won't play on Sunday, and I haven't heard anything since yesterday, at which point it seemed like there was a chance, but not a guarantee. If he's without Mike Evans, would this be another one of those where you're saying to yourself, I might entertain a better option?
Yeah, it's a conversation. Now, look, he still has Rob Gronkowski.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get Antonio Brown back,
right?
We expect. They'll have Ronald Jones. Is Ronald Jones Leonard Fournette? No, but he's a decent pass-catching running back.
Sure, yeah.
And they'll have a full week of getting everyone up to speed. Again, like, Godwin and Evans all left that game, and Fournette left the game against the Saints, you know, so they hadn't really prepared for it. So they're going to go knowing, hey, we need Scotty Miller to step up here.
Right.
You know, we're going to use more two tight end sets, and hey, Cam Brate, this is your week. I don't know what the Patriots, I don't know what the Buccaneers are necessarily going to do, but my expectation is they'll have a better game plan going into the game against Carolina than they did against New Orleans, because at least they'll know who they have with them. It is worth noting that the last time Tom Brady threw zero touchdowns in a game, he followed it with his best game of the year. So I just, generally speaking, like, no analysis here. I just gut call. I just think when you bet against Tom Brady, you ultimately lose, right? And I just think that, especially given how that game was on primetime, national television, Tom is well aware, I assure you, of like how poorly he played, how all the chatter. That was a bad game because it was also a loss within the division as well.
I don't know.
Look, I get it, Daniel. I hear you.
But we've said this before, right? This is just me. Earlier this year, we said this, right, going into the Washington football game. We were talking about how they were going to crush the Washington football team. Why?
It's
because
true.
Tom Brady looked awful, and there's no way.
It's a great call, Daniel. Yep. Yeah.
I'm with you.
By the way,
it's a conversation. So the answer is it's a conversation. What I'm saying is that, just so I'm not talking out of both sides of my mouth, it is a conversation. And if you and I were sitting at a bar and you said to me, you know what, instead of Tom Brady, I'm thinking of, you know, whatever, Kirk Cousins or Cam Newton in the same game or whatever, Taysom Hill, like, I'd be like, I sort of get it, right?
It's just hard because
But I'm just telling you, like, for me, I'm probably, if I have to go down with a ship, I'm going down with a ship. I'm probably going down with Tom Brady. I'm just saying, like, I'm just going to, like, you know what, like, I get it. I understand all the arguments against, but I don't want to bet against Tom Brady. And I get it.
Yeah, it's hard because, again, I don't know how many people are rostering, as an example, Kirk Cousins and Tom Brady.
Correct.
Right? Like, they're just, I think the more likely conversation you're having is Tom Brady versus, you said, Taysom Hill or Justin Fields or, I mean, who else, right?
Who's available on your waiver wire,
Baker,
right?
Mayfield. Like, would you want to do that?
No, you're not doing that.
I'm just telling you, these are the kind of conversations. Like, here's an interesting one. If he plays,
okay,
Tyler Huntley.
I was just going to say that.
Wow. I know, right? Like, iron's hot, right? The iron's really hot right now. Man, that's a...
Here's the thing.
That's a conversation.
If Tom Brady has Mike Evans, he at least has one of his primary pass catchers. And
Mike Evans not at practice this morning, by the
way.
By the way, not spotted. Antonio Brown, not spotted at practice.
Is like, you know, is Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes kind of paralleled here where like...
Yeah, exactly right.
They might both be without their top pass catchers. So there's a chance that you're benching both of them. And that's not something that I feel like we would say in the past. But it's just
I'm in a league where I have Tom Brady and I'm playing against Patrick Mahomes this weekend.
That's actually great. That's fantastic for both of you.
And I have Mike Evans. I actually have Tyreek Hill as well in that league. But he has Chris Godwin, too.
Right.
So it's like we're sitting here like the projections have changed dramatically compared to where they were. You know,
it's Spider-Man meme.
Yes,
it's,
literally. It's like, oh God, guys, what do we do? You know, so he's got a good team. I got a good team. We'll see what happens. Hopefully,
you know, it's interesting.
Might win like 72-71 or something. I'm okay with that though.
Yeah, I mean, by the way, just as you sort of think about this game, think about who's on Carolina's sideline. Think about who's in that secondary in Carolina.
Stephon Gilmore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Stephon Gilmore. How many practices has Stephon Gilmore done against Tom Brady?
A lot, yeah.
I mean, like, you know, if there was a guy that could sit here and if there's a guy that could get around the secondary and say, like, listen, when he does this, this is what he's actually going to do. When he's looking you this way, this is like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If there was a guy, right? Yeah, anyway. So it's a conversation.
You know, the hard last thing I'll say about it?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's just like, you can get through this week with Tom Brady as your quarterback. Mm. The matchup in week 17 against the Jets is so tasty.
Nice.
Oh,
man. So nice. Just survive in advance, Daniel.
Right.
Pick every NFL matchup for a shot at prizes with Pigskin Pick'em presented by Truly Hard Seltzer. Play at ESPN.com/PigskinPick'em or on the ESPN Fantasy app.
By the way, compounding why these decisions are difficult is that you've got a bunch of struggling quarterbacks, Matthew, which includes Kyler Murray. And I got to be honest with you, Matthew, I've got him at quarterback 9. If Saturday night he finishes with like 13 fantasy points, I won't be surprised. Will you?
Colts are really good defense.
They are.
Colts are playing really, really well.
They force the most turnovers in the NFL.
And the other thing is in addition to playing well, just think about how they do play defense. Like, they get after it. Like, they're rangy. You know what I mean?
Fast,
like,
linebackers.
Fast linebackers.
Sacks,
so just like,
yeah.
Right, exactly. So you think about what does Kyler Murray need to do to have a big fantasy day here? And running's a part of it. And so this is not a team that's going to be particularly prone to giving up big quarterback runs, to your point about, I mean, Darius Leonard is playing at such a high level right now. And so it's a concern here. It's like, I think this is the lowest I've ranked Kyler Murray all year. Probably for you as well. We both have him just barely inside our top 10.
By the way, also, no DeAndre Hopkins.
Correct.
Rondale Moore is sketchy to play on Sunday.
Yes.
He's got an MRI he was undertaking. He's undergoing. Like, I mean, I don't know, man.
And also, again, think about how the Colts play offense, which is important, right? It's going to be a lot of Jonathan Taylor. So you have limited possessions, right? They're going to be like, they're going to try to slow this game down if you're Indianapolis. You're going to be like, it's going to be Jonathan Taylor and then Jonathan Taylor. And oh, by the way, have you seen our Jonathan Taylor play?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, that's what it's going to be, which makes sense.
Yeah.
And you can run on Arizona. The Detroit Lions certainly did last week.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. I mean, like, so, I mean, Craig Reynolds had almost 100 yards against them.
Yep.
He had over 100 yards. He had 112.
Oh, I thought he had 99. You're right. He
had 99 yards the first game, his first game.
Oh,
and
sorry, 112. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. You're right. So, I mean, Craig Reynolds ran for .112 against him. Craig Reynolds. No disrespect to Craig Reynolds.
Netflix.
But like,
they call him Netflix because they called him because he was literally on his couch watching Netflix, and then he came off the couch, and now he's playing football.
Right.
Unbelievable.
He probably paused it.
He probably paused it.
Like, exactly. Yeah. Like, he's like, I'll be back soon.
Right, yeah. Like, do you think that TV that he was watching, you know, is like still on right now?
Probably.
It's just, I don't know where he lives normally.
Probably.
Kutztown, Pennsylvania.
Probably Kutztown.
There's just a couch, vacated couch with a TV still on somewhere.
Somewhere season 5, episode 4 of Community is just paused.
One of the frustrating things about Netflix, and it's really a me issue, not a Netflix issue.
No, most things are a you issue.
Yeah.
But
you know how Netflix has like multiple, you can, you know, choose profiles?
Yes.
So I have my profile. Beth has her profile, and my three sons all have their profiles. My daughters basically watch on my profile.
Mm.
So Netflix thinks I'm like this guy that loves action movies and like dramas for 10-year-old girls. Like,
oh my God.
And my suggested watches are like, you know, because they always suggest things for you to watch. And it's like, I must like confuse the hell out of Netflix because they, like, the stuff they throw at me, like, what is going, like, why is this, you know?
The algorithm for this guy is all over the place.
Like,
that's funny.
Right. Why is this middle-aged man watching Alexa and Kate? You know, like, right, exactly. Like,
it is highly so entertaining.
Funny. Right, huh?
It is highly entertaining.
Highly entertaining. Anyway, one more
quarterback, and just I want to make a little bit shorter conversation because we have a lot to get to still, but like, lock him in, yes or no, Dak Prescott against your Washington football team?
Yes.
You're locking him in?
I'm locking him in. Look, I am lower than you. I'm at 12, but
I'm 11, yeah.
But we're just so beat up, honestly. I mean, at some point, like, you get sick of saying, like, well, this is the week that Dak gets going.
Right.
But I think if you've survived this long, again, it all depends. All of it's a conversation. It just, I hate saying I lock it in because I don't know what else you have on your roster. I'm at 12, so I don't have him as a QB1. I think he has a good game here. Again, QB 12 in fantasy can still be a very good game. I think Washington is sort of like, you know, good job, good effort at this point. We needed to win that game against Philadelphia. We didn't, and it's, you know, no fault of that. Like, just, you know, is what it is with COVID and everything. But we're really beat up, right? Not having Chase Young when you're getting dominated, when the offensive line is just keeping Jalen Hurts clean.
Yep.
You really need a Chase Young in there. And anyway, sure. What are you gonna do?
Yeah, totally.
Field, I want to switch these two segments if you don't mind. So we're gonna do this one first. Week 15 Stars is brought to you by Captain Morgan. Bench your boring drinks and sub in the captain on game day. Captain Morgan, the official spiced rum of the NFL. And Matthew, you just talked about it. Craig Reynolds is a guy that over the last couple weeks has absolutely come on. Are you trusting him in a depleted running back situation here in the fantasy playoffs if you need a guy?
Trust is a strong word, Daniel. And at the moment, like, to me, my question back to you is Jamal Williams going
to
play?
To me, my question back to you is, which, I guess it's not a question. I don't know.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Yeah. Again, this is the perils of doing a Wednesday show looking ahead to Sunday. If Jamal Williams plays, I don't think Craig Reynolds evaporates into thin air. I think he has a role. I just don't think that he's going to have, you know, 19 carries in a game. I think it might be more likely he has 9 carries in a game if Jamal Williams plays. If he's out, I've got him as a flex consideration. If Jamal Williams is in, I'm unfortunately putting Craig Reynolds back on my bench where he's valuable depth, though.
Yeah. The thing you like is they're playing Atlanta, right? It's a really good matchup against the Falcons, a run defense that, you know, Jeff Wilson Jr. and Deebo Samuel and the Niners just ran all over last week, right?
Sure.
So you like the matchup against Atlanta. You don't love the fact Reynolds not really involved in the passing game here. And, of course, you know, Jared Goff so red hot. Like, why are you going to take the ball out of his hands, Daniel?
But now he's on the IR.
Jared Goff is on the COVID list, too. Yeah, exactly.
David Blau.
How did I forget that? Have I told you my joke?
No, yes, we heard the joke.
And not even my joke. What I was going to say is, Craig Reynolds is not involved in the passing game, right? So it's really just like, does he get into the end zone? Because otherwise, like, again, had a great game this past weekend, 112 yards, but
11.2
fantasy
points. Correct.
Like, you're like, okay. You're hoping for a touchdown if you start him. I agree with you. I think he's a higher end flex given the matchup with Atlanta and the fact that if Goff doesn't play, they might lean on the run game even more in this one. But if Jamal Williams plays, then I think you're probably doing without unless you're in a super deep league.
I would agree with that. I just want to say this stat. Running backs that have gotten 15-plus touches versus Atlanta this season have averaged 17.4 fantasy points
per
game. So if Jamal Williams is not there, I definitely like him. As you're saying, a high-end flex play.
Yep. Top 25-ish play. All right, Daniel, where do you want to go to next?
I want to do let's just do the rest of these guys. We're going to rip through. These guys all had big weeks last week. Deontay Foreman is another one of them.
Yeah, I mean, I think for the Titans on Thursday night, like, he's going to be the guy again. I think that I think the big question with Deontay Foreman is he's like Craig Reynolds, though, isn't he? Right? Like, you're counting on a touchdown for him to graduate from flex option to lock it in RB consideration, right? Because last week he had 24 touches, 135 yards. He had 15.5 fantasy points.
Yeah, but they use him a little bit more in the passing. Like, I feel like Craig Reynolds has no passing game involvement. Foreman has a little bit here. I like the matchup. 49ers giving up 22.8 fantasy points per game to opposing running backs. They want to run the ball. And I do think that assuming A.J. Brown is active in this one, that's going to help the run game. Like, you have to respect A.J. Brown in a way that you don't any other Titans pass catcher.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do think that's going to open up the run game somewhat. So, again, trust is a strong word. But, like, I'd prefer Deontay Foreman to Craig Reynolds.
Yeah, I would agree on that one.
Yeah.
I would agree, especially because there's uncertainty surrounding Jamal Williams' status and Deontay plays on Thursday night, right? Like, I take the bird in hand as opposed to waiting and, you know, hey, I'm going to play Craig Reynolds over Deontay Foreman. And the next thing you know, Craig Reynolds shares the ball with Jamal Williams and then Deontay gets a carry or something like that.
Godwin Igbuke.
Yeah, right.
I finally learned how to pronounce
that. That was great. I was really proud of you.
Yeah, I snuck that in
real quick.
Yeah.
I think Deontay Foreman has a better chance at a touchdown, too.
I would agree on that. Yep. Better offense. I think I would agree on. Well, maybe better offense. That might be a question right now.
Mine's red hot.
That's right.
Christian Kirk had a big game this past week against Detroit as well. And again, no DeAndre Hopkins. We'll see on Rondale Moore. Do you trust him on Sunday to Saturday night, Matthew? Christmas?
You know what I do? I do feel like, again, with no run, to your point, we're not expecting. We know Hopkins definitely isn't playing, and we think there's a better than average chance that Rondale Moore does not get cleared and come back in time for Saturday. So then you've got a really narrow target tree between Christian Kirk and AJ Green. And so, listen, you can throw in the Colts. I mean, they're giving up, they're 17th against wide receivers. They're giving up over 34 fantasy points per game to opposing wide receivers. Kirk has gotten a lot of targets, 12 targets last week as well. And so, you know, I think he's a pretty good shot for 8+ targets in this one.
Cardinals wide receiver this week, or would it be AJ Green?
I think I would prefer Christian Kirk to AJ Green. Just a little younger, a little more explosive. I'm at 25. I have AJ Green. I'm sorry, I have Christian Kirk at wide receiver 25.
I agree on that. We talked earlier about how Cole Beasley is out on the COVID-19 list now. We'll see on Emmanuel Sanders, but I think Gabe Davis probably cracks the lineup now, or at least has a chance of cracking your lineup, Matthew, only because he's been so good recently. Back to back games with a touchdown. Now, a couple of caveats. Obviously, the Patriots are a very, very good defense. These two teams played a game that we can basically throw out for fantasy purposes in a lot of ways when there was 50-mile-an-hour winds. It does not look to be 50-mile-per-hour wind conditions on Sunday back in Foxborough, Massachusetts. Good player. I think that you're banking on the possibility of upside here, right? If Emmanuel Sanders plays, it maybe decreases the value a little bit, Matthew, but
yep.
I think Gabe Davis has a chance to get you 5 or 7 targets this game again.
I do. One of the things that you're encouraged about the fact is when they get in close, they look for him, right? He's now had multiple end zone targets in 3 straight games. Again, we talked about this last time they played the Patriots. Scored a touchdown, and at the end of the game when the Bills were trying to take the lead, they looked for him. Like he came, you know.
Final play of the game.
Right.
Yep.
Came inches within having a second touchdown in that one. So, yeah, I mean, in the initial ranks before the news on Sanders, I didn't have Gabe Davis ranked. He will make it. Like, again, he's still like it's a tough matchup, right? He's still going to be like more of a wide receiver 4, but he definitely has some upside if you're going that deep.
Let's take a look at some of the players that were popular going into the playoffs, but should you bench them? And some of these would be quick, right? I mean, Cordarrelle Patterson, it was a bad week last week. Yeah. Just 4.2 fantasy points. As we mentioned yesterday, he had a touchdown taken off the board, scored upon replay review. It was ruled he was short at the goal line. If that actually holds up, you're at least sitting there saying to yourself, I didn't lose because of Cordarrelle Patterson. We expect more. I just think that over the past couple of games, Matthew, we haven't seen the same level of explosiveness, not because of him. He hasn't changed as a player. It's just hard to count on explosive plays behind an average offensive line that consistently. He does not have a play of over 12 yards during the past 2 games.
I'm starting him.
Same here. Yeah, I've got him.
I'm as a top 10 play. He's playing Detroit. Great victory for the Lions last week. They're definitely playing inspired defense right now, but I'm playing Cordarrelle Patterson against Detroit.
Man, I miss the days.
Damn. Period.
Yep.
Bingo, bango. I'm not even considering it.
Who else are you playing in that against Detroit? You're playing Kyle Pitts. He's a definite starter, right?
I mean, you have to.
Yeah. And yeah. Honestly, I think Russell Gage. Russell Gage has been so red hot the last couple of weeks.
Really good.
I think you have to play Russell Gage.
Those three guys are starters.
I saw a graphic from our ESPN NFL team, which is accurate and a good graphic about how like Kyle Pitts is having like one of the best tight end rookie seasons like ever. If you just look at the receiving yards. And then I'm sitting here thinking to myself, for fantasy, I'm like, really? Really? You know, like it's true. Mm. I think it's just a reminder that like tight ends historically have really had a longer acclimation period than any other position that matters in fantasy football. It's just crazy.
We talked about this in the preseason. Like, again, the best rookie fantasy wide receiver, the best fantasy rookie tight end season over the past, I think, decade was Evan Ingram, the year that his rookie year when every one of the Giants got hurt and he was the only guy there. But, he was being drafted at 4th overall, and you and I both thought that was too high, despite we get it, like crazy draft capital, crazy talent, but just too high. And he has not returned his ADP value this year, certainly, but future is bright for Kyle Pitts from a pure talent standpoint.
Man, I miss Chuba Hubbard.
Yeah.
I mean, I miss Mike Davis in Carolina, I should say. I mean, Chuba Hubbard, who's 42nd on my running back board, Matthew. You've got him at 47th.
Yeah.
Consensus ranks are 41. You would have thought that the backup to Christian McCaffrey, based off what we saw last year from Mike Davis, would be somewhat fantasy relevant. We underappreciate Mike Davis, who was just remarkable last year filling in for CMC. 42nd for my running back rank, and I have him 5 spots ahead of you, and I'm talking about Chuba Hubbard here, Matthew. Just crazy. The days of a Carolina backup running back being super valuable are not here right now.
They're not, but there's a couple of mitigating factors here. Okay. So Chuba Hubbard not involved in the passing game the way we thought he might be,
right?
At least initially, right? Because Mike Davis last year was sort of 80% of Christian McCaffrey, and this year we thought maybe he would be involved more in the passing game. He hasn't been. It's been Amir Abdullah that they're using, and we'll talk about him in a second. The other big issue here is that the quarterback, Cam Newton, is literally the best goal line finisher of the past decade and possibly in NFL history.
Right.
And so, like, they get in close. If you're Matt Rhule, are you giving it to Chuba Hubbard or are you giving it to Cam Newton? Or honestly, do you even have a choice? Because Cam Newton snapping the ball and then just like, yeah, I'm going to do this myself.
Right.
I mean, like, and we saw this last week again. Cam Newton kept it himself and from like I think 5 or 6 yards out, ran in for a touchdown. So you've got possible vulture issues with your quarterback, and you've got no passing down work on an offense that isn't explosive, that isn't scoring a lot. So when you start talking about it that way, you're like, oh yeah, wait, are you even ranking Chuba Hubbard? Like, I mean, it starts getting ugly there. Yeah. Like, by the way, you don't love the matchup with Tampa Bay, which traditionally this year has been a very good run defense. And the way you can attack Tampa Bay with running backs is with your pass catching. Right? I mean, they do actually give up a decent amount of receptions to opposing running backs, which makes maybe Amir Abdullah more of a DFS play, I would think, a tournament play.
I agree.
I mean, I have Abdullah at 46. Like, I mean, like, you know, it's not like crazy, but whatever. I had Abdullah on my love list last week. He ended up scoring a touchdown. That ended up working out. I think both guys are in their 40s. I think they're both desperation plays at running back, and ideally you have somebody better to slot in than either of the Carolina running backs this week.
Man, and by the way, we don't know if Cam's going to start on Sunday. Like, there's been some question, could Sam Darnold actually play on Sunday for the Carolina Panthers? I still think that if they get in close, even if Cam Newton's not the starter, they would still hand the ball off to him or hand the ball over to him and let him run it in. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I missed that Mike Davis season very, very much. One more here. Zeke Elliott, who has been obviously up and down this year, had a good week last week finding the end zone. Matthew plays against the Washington football team on Sunday. The eye test showed again that Tony Pollard was the much more effective and explosive runner. But you have to play Zeke, right? The volume is just too good.
1,000%. And now you think about Washington football team, whose defensive line just got dominated.
Yeah, gashed.
Gashed by Philadelphia on Tuesday. So now, by the way, they're playing on a short week. And so maybe they'll get some more reinforcements if people get healthier. And, you know, hopefully if Kyle Allen or Taylor Heineke are back, that Washington doesn't have as many three and outs as they did last night. But still, nothing about what you saw last night from what Philadelphia did against Washington in terms of how well they were able to run the ball, how effectively they were. I mean, they weren't even trying to disguise it. I mean, these were just like literally like up the middle, off tackle plays, and Jordan Howard's running for 12 yards at a clip. Like, I don't know how you bench Ezekiel Elliott. To me, I think he's a borderline RB1 this week. And by the way, looked last week getting healthier, like a little bit more juice. Like the touchdown run that he had against the Giants, you're like, oh, that's the Zeke of old. Like, you know, and so has it been there consistently? No, but like we're starting to see flashes of it again.
All right, and that is going to do it for this episode of Fantasy Focus. I'm actually in a radio studio right now because we had some technical difficulties at the end of the show. That came up because of the technical difficulties that started off the show. So we're starting the same way that we finished. We appreciate you guys so much for hanging out with us, spending this time with us, especially here over this holiday weekend. So for everybody that is still here and listening, we love you guys. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you and all your friends and family and people you're spending time with. Please be safe. Please be smart. We love you guys. And we hope you have an awesome week 16. We'll see you next week. Peace out.
If you need a stick of Tide, Field is your guide. If you're in Bristol or in Farmington, you should find another ride. Candidly, he hates Mike Clay, and you know that it's a fact. Every Yater's gonna Yate, 'cause he's on TV every day. A spicy tomato who's got the stats and tweets that'll make you laugh. He's our favorite host and everybody knows his name. He's Field Yates.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.